JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan, he is in full swing on the Best in Class podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford. Sean is all over quarterbacks today, quarterbacks, and a couple of questions. So post-combine, he's looking at his top five quarterbacks and more, what he likes, what he doesn't like, plenty of great stuff, always with an eyeball on our beloved Buccaneers. BillCurryFord.com. Shop there while you listen to Sean. Here he is.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan. Say hi, Grace.
Hi, guys.
Best assistant there is. I am super excited. This is a big time for me. We're doing QBs today. But first, a moment from our sponsor. Please visit Bill Curry Ford. Please go on there and order a vehicle with my concierge service with Nikki. You will receive a $500 gift card. We'll track your car the whole way. We are giving up to $5,000 over Kelley Blue Book for your trade-in. Excellent time right now. March Madness is going on. Construction's going on. We have an amazing construction sale. So follow us at Bill Curry Tampa, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And big news, right? We're going to go over some listeners this morning. And you know what's really exciting about Joe Bucks Fan is I'm doing QBs today, Grace, right? And I get an email about QBs. It's so exciting. And then Justin Watson comes in with his amazing wife, and they come in and shows me his Super Bowl ring from Kansas City, which I know Ira is envious of. By the way, Jason Light, Justin Watson is a free agent wide receiver who would love to come back to Tampa. So let's make that happen, because Justin Watson proved that he can play, and we could use some depth in that wide receiver room. So I wish him the very best, and he is now a Bill Curry Ford customer. Thank you so much, Justin Watson. Congratulations on your Super Bowl ring. Get to play with Patrick Mahomes. That's got to be exciting. And wish you all the best. So getting back to what we're going to talk about today, let's start with some emails from listeners, and then we'll jump right into my quarterback preview, which, as you know, is, besides pass rushers, quarterbacks are the most exciting for me. You want to know why? Because I do the most research on quarterbacks, and I'm always right. Right? That's the best part of my podcast is, if anybody out there can prove me wrong about what I'm talking about with quarterbacks, and I'm talking about, I don't care if you're a paid consultant. I don't care if you're a scout, because most scouts drink heavily. I don't care what you guys do. You will not beat me when it comes to scouting quarterbacks. It will not happen. Okay? That's why this information is so great. So let's jump into it. So Christian Linkletter, thank you for your email. Sean, our new offensive coordinator on the Ira podcast said he thought Sam Howell was the best QB out of last year's draft class. Echoing what you said, thank you so much, Christian. I have a confidence problem, Grace, so I need these people to really support me. What would be good to hear about is what makes a good QB prospect from a physical, tools, tape, and intangibles. Also, what makes them fail even after being highly touted. Jameis Winston and other busts. I get that it's a loaded question, but its erratic play in college proved to be the case in the NFL. So what can we learn from that? Well thought out, well-structured question, Christian. This is my wheelhouse, right? So very excited to talk about this. So the reason why I liked Sam Howell last year was because Sam Howell was a two-year starter at North Carolina without a lot of top five talent. And when you see Sam Howell scramble out of the pocket and he's able to throw the ball with pinpoint accuracy, it's just not something that can be taught. Sam's timing was impeccable on his throws, too, which was another thing. And I think that you saw that. I think Washington finally saw that by the end of the year in practice and said, we're going into next year with Sam Howell as our starter, probably because he's practicing. But the reason why I was right about Sam Howell, and listen, Sam Howell could go out there and be a terrible quarterback. What I am right about is the fact that he is NFL ready, and the fact that I am a guy that looks at two things quarterback-wise. I don't care about how fast you run the 40. I don't care how tall you are. I don't care about your speed. I don't care about any of it. Christian, what I'm looking for is two things. One, accuracy. Two, timing. Those are the only two things I'm concerned about. And going back, and if you watch Sam Howell's film at North Carolina, his junior year was unbelievable accuracy. He put the ball on left shoulder, right shoulder. He put it in front. He put it low. He put it high, depending on his receivers. It's like he recognized his talent, and he can throw those out throws. And he throws on the run amazingly well, and which is something you just can't teach. And so when I say timing, Sean, what's timing? Let me tell you what timing is. Timing, we're going to talk about C.J. Stroud on this podcast. I make no bones that C.J. Stroud is the best quarterback in this draft. And he's, for me, the safest. And we're going to talk about why and all those other reasons. C.J. Stroud, right now, when you look at his timing, watch when the ball is hiked. You can, no, don't just watch the 3 minutes of or 5 minutes of highlights. Joe Bucks fan listeners, please listen to me. Don't watch the highlights. Pull a game. It doesn't matter who it is. Like, if you watched C.J. Stroud against, let's say, Toledo, and you're like, okay, well, Toledo's not a great gauge of defensive talent. But what you can gauge is C.J. Stroud's timing and accuracy. In that game, he missed one pass through six touchdowns. Toledo had the number one ranked defense in their division. And their people were in place, but what you can't beat is the timing. When C.J. Stroud gets into his drop, the ball is thrown on time every single time. It's amazing. His timing, it's like music. It's like when Brady was throwing, when Brady throws off the line of scrimmage. Now, he speeded up his timing this year. That's why he struggled, and that's why we struggled, is because he had offensive line worries, and he went from 2.36 to probably 2.14 seconds on the drop, and he didn't give his receivers time to really get acclimated to the catch. And you see it over and over again. And when he missed in the dirt, because he was trying to speed up his timing. If Tom Brady could have sat back in that pocket and had 2.3 seconds, 2.4 seconds to allow his wide receivers to their pass to develop, their routes to develop, and he hits them on time, there's nobody better than Tom Brady. Let's just put that out there, okay? He sped it up, and the results were mixed. The thing you get with C.J. Stroud is, again, very similar to Tom Brady in timing. 1-2-3, 1-2-3, one ball's out. 1-2-3, 1-2-3, the ball's out. I have never seen a quarterback since Andrew Luck that I was watching tape on. And remember, I'm a Justin Herbert fan, and I love Justin Herbert. And I think he's just everything that I would want if I was a scout. And the scouts missed on him because he had a great junior year, and he struggled in his senior year because all of his players left. Well, guess what? Same thing happened to Sam Howell. He had an amazing junior year where he was a Heisman Trophy candidate. And then his senior year, his wide receivers, tight end, and two running backs went to the NFL, and he was left with a bunch of guys that were not NFL-caliber players. And it makes more sense in college for you to struggle with those types of players than it does in the NFL. But getting back to what Christian was saying, is it is timing and accuracy. Everything else, Christian, throw it out. Also, throw the interviews out. You know, one of the advantages, I was talking to Justin Watson in the showroom. He was like, you know, how do you know so much about football and the players? And I was like, one, that's a wonderful compliment, first of all. And second, I was like, I'm a very observant person, but I don't have the internal bias that a scout has because they meet the players. And I'm telling you, this is what the difference is. I'm not saying that if I worked for the Glazers, I wouldn't be going like, I'm not going to meet the players, because you're investing money in millions of dollars. I'm saying right now I have the advantage of not sitting down at the combine and talking to C.J. Stroud and going, yeah, you know, I came out of that interview and he wasn't as energetic as I thought he was going to be, so I'm going to put that in my notes. Or he wasn't as intelligent as far as the offensive scheme that I thought he was going to be. Or you sit down with Will Levis and you're like, Will Levis to me looks more of like a, you know, a partier, like after your conversation. And then you have all these internal biases that happen because it doesn't matter. You're human and it's going to happen. And then you go back and you make your notes and you go, okay, so Will Levis likes to party, and C.J. Stroud, he just didn't have the energy that I liked. And when I met Anthony Richardson, he lit up the room, and he was the smartest guy in the room, and he ran a 4.3, and he looks like a Greek god, and he does all, but can he throw the ball? You know, running backs run, quarterbacks throw. I mean, is he a running back masquerading as a quarterback? I don't know. Is he very similar to the New Orleans player, Hill? And is he going to be able to throw better than him? And is he going to run like him? I don't know. And we're going to get into that. We're going to break this down, Christian. But my point is, I don't have these internal biases when I meet a player. I'm only looking at their tape. And I think that gives me an amazing advantage. I didn't meet Sam Howe. I didn't look how tall he was. I didn't go out there and say, you know what, he's not a prototypical 6'4 quarterback and he's a little thinner than I thought. Or I don't do that. Right? I'm looking at Sam Howell going, okay, timing, accuracy. timing, accuracy. Oh, and when you look at the blitz and you look at how Sam Howell handled the blitz and you look at C.J. Stroud was not only number one against the blitz, no, he was number one by a massive discrepancy between him and the next quarterback. You want to know why? Because C.J. Stroud can not only read defenses and not only is he super cerebral quarterback, his timing and accuracy defeats the other player's physical attributes, meaning if the defensive back is super fast, super strong, super long arms, if you can put a ball in places that eliminates the defensive back's ability to stop your play. And I see it over and over again with certain players. I still see it with Justin Fields. And I'm going to talk to you about Justin Fields. I was on this podcast talking about that I felt so bad that he went to the Chicago Bears because he went to the wrong system and the wrong coach. And if Justin Fields turns out not to be a very good NFL player, and he doesn't develop as a passer. And I thought that was hilarious when one of the guys I was talking to said, Sean, you know, Justin Fields can't throw the ball. And I'm like, do you know who holds the record for the most accurate downfield throws in college football history? That would be C.J. Stroud. That would be Justin Fields. And I'm like, you guys have no idea what you're talking about. Not only can Justin Fields throw the ball, he throws with timing and accuracy. And he's the most accurate long ball thrower in Ohio State's history and college football history. And I'm like thinking to myself, how do these guys not know this information? Like I said, I know that this is my heart and soul and I love this stuff and I breathe this stuff. But there are certain things that make people so ignorant when they talk, when they say Justin Fields can't throw the ball. It's just so ignorant. He can throw the ball amazingly well. He is amazingly accurate. He has amazing timing. And yes, he can also run the ball. Yes, he's a great runner, but he's a great quarterback. He went to a bad system and bad coaching. So get to the back of Christian's thing when he said, why is there erratic play? Because you tried to make Justin Fields into a West Coast quarterback. That's why players fail, Christian. Players fail because coaches fail. One of the things that Lee tells me from Joe Bucks fan all the time, he says, never underestimate the pride of a coach. And coaches will get players and force them into certain offensive schemes that don't fit them. One of those things is Justin Fields playing in the offense that he was playing at. And that's why it was so refreshing to have Dave Canales come out and say, I'm going to design an offense around Kyle Trask. We're going to do what Kyle Trask does well. Same thing he did with Geno Smith. That is an enlightened coach. That is a guy that I'd like to have a beer with, you know, like, and talk football with, because that's somebody that understands that the player, in my opinion, the player can defeat scheme. If you have the right player, they can defeat any scheme, right? And I don't think it works the other way around. There's a lot of people that go into a game plan against Patrick Mahomes and they fail. Mike Tyson says, everybody has a plan till I punch him in the mouth. And that's what happens in a football game. So based on the erratic play of quarterbacks, again, it's going to be player versus scheme, Christian. And I think that that's where the players go wrong. Jameis Winston had accuracy problems in college. Somebody tinkered with Jameis Winston's mechanics when he came into the NFL, and it affected his long ball throwing, because in college he was absolutely outstanding. And it looks like they tried to take some time off his release, and I know he worked with one of these, quote, QB fixers in the offseason of his rookie year. And I think that really affects quarterbacks, not only when you try to put them in a scheme that doesn't fit, you don't play to their strengths, but I don't think that you tinker with their mechanics. It's not like when Tiger Woods actually broke down his swing and rebuilt his swing, he hasn't won a major since. We know that Jameis Winston's been throwing a football since he was a child. And he knows how to throw a football. He proved it in college. And then I believe what we did was we had bad coaching, and it absolutely destroyed that man's career. I think he would have had a very successful career. We also put him in an offensive system where he threw 30 interceptions and 50 touchdowns, where he didn't really fit that criteria of throwing down the field because he had lost his accuracy after his rookie year. But that's a longer conversation. But Christian, thank you so much for the question. I hope I answered it. We're going to do our quarterback breakdown in 30 minutes. And I apologize, I went a little long, but it was just such a well thought out question. And I really wanted to make sure I answered it well. And then this question by Leopold Stotch. Hey, Sean, long time no talk. Very much looking forward to our future podcast. I enjoy this time of the year as well because the only one in my group who pays attention and cares about the draft. Your takes also help me look smarter, so I appreciate that. Again, thank you so much for helping me build my self-esteem. It's very low. Anyway, got to ask you about this guy from Ohio State, Will McDonald. He's going to be 24, but apparently set a lot of Big 12 records for the Cyclones. Heard about him from a Puff piece on Yahoo. I don't remember him coming up in your past podcast, but with our beloved Bucks needing pass rush help desperately, do you think this guy's on your radar? So basically, Leopold, when I sent you back the answer on him, he's an undersized defensive end who has been moving up draft boards since the combine with his speed. He's going to fit in a 3-4 defense. I think Todd Bowles would like Will McDonald a lot because he reminds me a lot of Shaquille Barrett is who he reminds me of, Leopold. So I put it in my notes when I broke down. I'm obviously breaking down every single player in the draft with my NFL comparisons. And when I broke it down, he will play in a 3-4. He's undersized, but he's very fast, has a lot of pass rushing moves. And the reason why I think he's moved up into the latter stages of the first round is just on his 40 time, his vertical, his three cone. I think that's one of the things that has really helped him. But as far as an NFL comparison, Shaq Barrett kind of deal, where he's going to be a little bit smaller as a rushing outside linebacker, but he plays the run well. I think I haven't mentioned him in my other podcast just because I haven't gone too deep in pass rushers. And I believe that there's going to be a couple of guys on the board that I think that we would look at first over McDonald. But we'll see how that goes. But I hope that answers your question. Grace, we're going to break down into the quarterbacks, the top 10 quarterbacks, post-combine quarterback breakdown, starting with number one, C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud is the quarterback of the Ohio State Buckeyes, 182 QB rating in college, 81 touchdowns to 12 interception ratio. He averaged 10 yards per throw, 7,775 yards passing, 70% completion percentage, right? Heisman Trophy finalist, everybody knows that. So this is what I'm talking about. Timing, accuracy. So C.J. Stroud threw 81 touchdowns. He threw for 8,000 yards. He threw for 10 yards a throw and 70% completion, and he threw only 12 interceptions. I don't even have his rushing stats on here. That's not important because I don't really care about his rushing stats. I care about him, his QB stats as a thrower. And right now, no one's going to convince me that C.J. Stroud shouldn't be the number one overall pick. I think C.J. Stroud fits amazingly well with the Houston Texans. And I know that the Seattle Sea Chickens are very interested in him at 5. If one quarterback goes before C.J. Stroud, I don't know what scouts are looking at. And we're gonna talk about Bryce Young next, and the reason why I like Bryce Young, and the reason why I wouldn't, if I was an NFL team, draft him over C.J. Stroud. This is going to be the C.J. Stroud conversation is going to be that C.J. Stroud has a stronger arm. C.J. Stroud is going to be able to physically handle the NFL better than Bryce Young. That's one of those things where NFL teams like Jason Light, GMs like him, top GMs in the league, they still use a prototypical size chart for different positions. Like, this is your linebacker position. This is your defensive lineman position. Hence the reason why players go up and down boards based on their height and weight and speed. Jason Light knows how big he wants his defensive tackles. He knows how big he wants his defensive ends. He knows how big he wants his offensive tackles. He knows how big he wants his guards. He knows how heavy he wants his center to be based on what kind of offensive scheme he's running, whether it's power or zone. He knows everything about every position. And when somebody comes along that doesn't fit that position size-wise, he has to, in his mind, think, is the upside worth taking a chance in this guy, or what's his bust potential? So C.J. Stroud is my clear number one quarterback. There's nobody that's more precise as far as timing and accuracy in this draft. C.J. Stroud proved that at the combine. He went out and he threw the ball, and he threw the ball with distance. He threw the ball with accuracy and timing. And every single NFL coach that talked about C.J. Stroud said he's just a pure thrower, and his accuracy is off the charts. I'll take that. Dave Canales, when he was talking to Joe Bucks fans, said that there are certain quarterbacks that have stayed in the NFL for 10, 14, 15 years that are not stars. And he said they stay in the NFL because of their accuracy, because they get the ball and they don't turn the ball over. And in a pinch, you can put them in and you know they're going to have a high completion percentage and run your offense at a high level. And one of those is Case Keenum. If I'm Jason Light and I like Kyle Trask, I don't know what kind of quarterback Kyle Trask is going to be. I know what he was in college. He was a guy, you know, that throws 40 touchdowns and 7 interceptions, and a guy that throws 70% completion percentage, a guy that single-handedly almost beat a Alabama team full of NFL stars by himself, a guy that literally is one of the most accurate quarterbacks in Florida history. And again, you just saw Anthony Richardson say that he is a star and he's like a legend at Florida. All of those things are fine. Listen, I've never seen him with bullets flying live in a game with the first team offense. Don't know how that's going to work. I can't wait to see it. But if I'm Jason Light right now and I'm in a room with the Glazers and we're talking about, we just lost Tom Brady, we just lost our marketable star that fills the seats and makes us money. All those primetime games were because of Tom Brady. That's all of a TV contract the Glazers get to make. All the money from the sold out stadiums, that's all money that Tom Brady produced for the Glazers. Tom Brady's effect on Tampa, they're talking about, is in the $500 to $600 million range just in what he has brought in business to Tampa since he's been our quarterback. And then, of course, winning the Super Bowl. And then the fact that the Brady effect is huge. And I think the Glazers, for the first time, saw this effect. C.J. Stroud, right, is a guy that can change your franchise again for the positive. I would, if C.J. Stroud doesn't go number one and he falls down to 2 or 3 or 4 because scouts are high or drinking, right? If that happens, if I'm Jason Light, I give up everything to get C.J. Stroud. If it's the pick number 5 or pick number 6, it's worth giving up 2 to 3 number one picks to get a guy that can be your quarterback for the next 12, 13 years and win you championships, like a Josh Allen, like a Justin Herbert, you know, like a Patrick Mahomes. Like, we would get our guy, you know, we would get our guy where we can build around him and know we're making the playoffs every single year and know that we're competing for a Super Bowl every single year. C.J. Stroud is your guy. All right, coming in at number 2 is Bryce Young. Now, Bryce Young, 5'10". You know, he got up to 200 pounds for the combine. He played at 170 most of the year, which is, everybody knows, combine weight doesn't matter. When you get out in the heat and you're sweating and you're working out and you're running, you're going to lose that weight. Your body's not used to holding on to it. It's going to come off. His playing weight's probably going to be 185 when the season starts. Right, 162 QB rating, 75 to 12 TD interception to ratio, threw for 8,000 yards, right? You know, obviously C.J. Stroud had better stats, but that's not a problem. That's not what I'm talking about. Bryce Young, extremely accurate quarterback. His arm strength is not as good, right? So that's one of the things we can talk about is okay, how valuable is arm strength? It's not valuable when you're as accurate as Bryce Young. So I'm going to give him a compliment and say, I don't care about his arm strength. I know that guys are bringing it up right now. I don't care about his arm strength. He's so accurate that doesn't come into play. He can throw on the run, very similar to top players in the league as far as throwing on the run. My problem with Bryce Young is he does not fit the prototypical mold that I would use as a franchise to give up number one picks for and think that he's going to make it in the NFL. I think that he can come out. I think he's going to light it up early. I think you're going to see him play extremely well until the hits start coming. When the hits start coming, I think there's a chance. And I'm not saying, listen, Bryce Young could be the unicorn. He could be the Doug Flutie of this situation, right? He could be the Jim McMahon of this situation. And he could be different than everybody else. I can only tell you, as a GM, statistically, I would not draft a guy that is against all odds to stay healthy in the NFL. He wasn't healthy at Alabama, right? This goes back to my conversation last year about corners. Health, being healthy in college and being healthy in the pros. Bryce Young, we have no idea how many concussions he had at Alabama. We have no idea. We don't know how many concussions Tua had at Alabama. We know that he's had 5 since he's entered the NFL, and we know that the Miami Dolphins said, we don't care how well he throws the ball, he can't stay on the field. We don't know if we're going to extend his 5th-year option. My problem with Bryce Young is I think it's just too much of a risk to pass on C.J. Stroud to draft Bryce Young and then worry about him all the time getting hurt. I just think that that's a possibility as a GM that I'm not willing to make. Now, my number three quarterback is going to surprise everyone in this room and probably everyone in Tampa. My number three quarterback was the SEC Player of the Year, Hendon Hooker, out of Tennessee. Let me put some learning on you, right? Hendon Hooker's stats, 58 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. It's pretty good. I would say that's probably one of the best I've ever seen. 6,000 yards. Again, I don't care about his rushing yards, but he did overrush for over 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns. So I loved him after the combine. So obviously he didn't work out at the combine. He actually went up and was talking to the coaches, and he said, the biggest knock on me, and everybody keeps telling me, the biggest knock on me is the offense that I played in, where I played in an offense that was basically, I didn't have to get to my second progression, that I threw to my first progression the majority of the time. I can't help it if my receivers get open, that my first progression wide receiver gets open consistently. I can't help that as a quarterback. I put the ball on him where it was supposed to be. I was accurate with the ball. I'm listening like with open ears going, this guy is amazing. Like he's literally understanding what they're going to say about him, and his rebuttal is so good. He's like, listen, the reason why I don't have a lot of tape on second and third progressions is because I was able to hit my first in stride on time. Boom. I mean, I'm like, my goodness, Hendon. I mean, you could not have said this better. If Hendon Hooker drops in this draft, and he drops to the third round, right? I think that you do everything you can to get him. I think without this knee injury, Hendon Hooker is a first round draft pick. And I think even if he was healthy, he would be underrated because he played at Tennessee. But you don't play in the SEC. You're not SEC Player of the Year, where every single defense has to plan for you. And you're that explosive of a quarterback. And then people are going to go, well, you know, I really don't like the way he played. Listen, was he accurate? Can he throw on time? The answers are yes. Extremely accurate. 58 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, right? His completion percentage, almost 67%. Hendon, I'm fascinated by people who take away and go, well, he's an athlete. They're all athletes, guys. Stop saying the word athlete. Every single one of these guys is an athlete, or they wouldn't be playing in the NFL. Please stop, all right? Do me a favor. Sean Sullivan, best in class, said stop using the word athlete. They're all damn athletes, okay? Is he a quarterback? This guy is a quarterback. I want him on my team. I would love for him to come in and compete with Kyle Trask if that happens. I just don't think we're going to have the draft capital to draft Hendon Hooker. I just don't think we're going to have it. I think we have too many needs going into this year. I think Todd Bowles is going to go, I don't want to draft a quarterback. I want to draft a defensive lineman. And that's what's going to happen. But if it does happen, you know, I'm not going to be upset about it. Will Levis would be my next quarterback. 46 touchdowns, 25 interceptions, 5,800 yards passing, 64% completion percentage. I don't understand the Will Levis thing. I know that Mel Kiper is saying this is his number one quarterback. Will Levis looks the part. He has the arms, right? He looks like a bodybuilder. I get it. He has the height and the weight, and he can run, and he can do all those things. He doesn't throw the ball with accuracy. If anybody wants to watch Will Levis, don't watch his highlights. Watch the Florida Gators play Will Levis, right? Kentucky. Watch the game. The Florida Gators did not have a defensive backfield worth a darn this year, okay? They didn't. Will Levis couldn't do anything against that porous Gator defense. It was really eye-opening, going, wow, it's... I don't understand this guy. I don't understand him being the number one overall guy. And then they're going to say, well, it's kind of like the idea that he didn't have anybody around him. Okay, I'll give him that. He had a better year the prior year with more people. And I'm one of those guys. Fine, I'll give him that. He does not show – he has moxie. I'll give him that. He doesn't show me that he's going to come in and run an offense. Like the Colts – apparently the Colts have been linked to this guy. They're all over him. And the Indianapolis Colts want Will Levis. I think he's a big project. I think he's a project, and if he and I don't see what everybody else sees in him. I see size and prototypical, yes. Does he look like he belongs on a Wheaties box? Absolutely. He's handsome. He's got big muscles. I get it all. He's got the strong arm. He looks like the front of a franchise. But does he play like one? And I find the inconsistency of Will Levis worrisome if I'm a GM. I worry about it. He's too inconsistent for me to be comfortable drafting him this high. That's my Will Levis stuff. Anthony Richardson is my next quarterback / running back / tight end. And listen, I know about the workout. I know about the 4.43 40 time. How does that compare to Tom Brady's 40 time? Right? That's what I want to ask. Right? Who cares? He rushed for 1,000 yards, 12 touchdowns. He threw 24 touchdowns to 15 interceptions, right? And he only threw for 3,000 yards. Let me just tell you something about Anthony Richardson. I am a Gator fan. Everybody that listens to my podcast knows that I am a diehard Gator and have been since I was a boy. I have watched every quarterback from Shane Matthews to Danny Werfel to Dean, you know, to Tim Tebow. I've seen them all. I've seen all the quarterbacks. Anthony Richardson was supposed to be better than all of them. He got a head coach fired, actually, because he wasn't playing him, because he wanted to play Emory Jones instead. Anthony Richardson gets in the game, and he plays the Utah game, and you're like, okay, now I see what everybody's seeing with this guy. He's amazing, right? His balls were on target. He threw downfield. He did his progressions. He ran the ball extremely well. Then we get into the Kentucky game, and he can't hit the broadside of a barn. He can't hit anybody on time. The ball comes out late. The ball comes out early. He has no touch on any throw whatsoever. He tries to throw every ball through a barn door, right? He tries to throw everything through a wall. And he actually came out during the combine interviews and said, my job is to throw the ball, not catch the ball. They can deal with how the speed and how hard I throw the ball. They need to catch it, right? That's not how this works, right? You have to have touch. There's a reason why that you take something off of some balls and throw the balls hard. There's a reason. You don't just throw one speed, right? It just that, to me, that was just a very immature thing to say as a team leader. They just need to adjust to how I throw the ball. That shows a lack of maturity. No, it's your teammate. If your teammate says, listen, I'm open, and you're 5 yards down the field, you don't need to throw it and knock the receiver down or break his fingers or his hands. I was a little boy when Doug Williams was throwing the ball over at the old One Buck place where we can actually go sit in a cooler and watch an afternoon practice at One Buck place when it was by the airport. This was actually, you know, something I did as a kid. And I watched Doug Williams throw the ball so hard that the receivers would have to go tape their fingers because they would sprain their fingers all practice long and some of them were broken. And that was why Doug Williams was working on his touch. That guy could throw the ball harder than pretty much anybody I saw until Vinny Testaverde. But I will tell you, there's a lot to be said for being able to throw the ball with touch. Anthony Richard has zero. Accuracy, zero. Right? I don't care about his arm strength. I don't care how fast he can run the ball. He's not a running back. He's a quarterback. I don't care about any of it. The guy can't read progressions. And if he can read progressions, he had wide open wide receivers and overthrew them all game long with nobody around him. Nobody around him. He's throwing absolutely inaccurate footballs. And by the way, I was listening to Mel Kiper talk about Anthony Richards' offensive line and his thing. So let me just tell you something about Anthony Richards' offensive line. It was rated number 2 in the SEC. You're going to have 2 NFL draft picks, 1 first-round draft pick off that offensive line. It was an excellent offensive line. You want to know why it was an offensive line that was excellent? It had the number 1 rushing offense in the SEC between NTN and Montel Johnson. I'm telling you right now, you had an amazing running game. You had an amazing offensive line, and you couldn't throw the ball. That's bad. I just don't think that Anthony Richardson can be fixed overnight or over 2 or 3 years. This is, for me, this is the conversation that we had last year when everybody was pushing these athletic quarterbacks up over Sam Howell, and I'm like, I don't understand how you – in what world is Malik Willis better than Sam Howell as a quarterback? In what world? Like, apparently only in the NFL world. And guess who was right? This guy was right. The NFL world was wrong. And I don't care how much work you're going to do. I watched him, Willis, on Monday Night Football complete 6 passes. I watched them run the ball as a quarterback sneak on 3rd and 12, on 3rd and 10. You want to know why? Because he can't throw the ball. Okay? It was so obvious by the second half of that game that the defense was just going to ride the line of scrimmage and Tennessee was going to do absolutely nothing. Now, Malik Willis is not the runner that Anthony Richardson is. Anthony Richardson is a once-in-a-lifetime type running back for a quarterback position. He's big, strong, and fast, and he breaks a lot of tackles, and he can jump over linebackers. But he was also hurt a lot. He was hurt in the majority of his games this year, and he was hurt last year, and he missed several games last year. So everybody can talk about what a great runner he is, but he doesn't stay healthy. He had ankle injuries, shoulder injuries, foot injuries. What is he going to do in the pros when bigger, faster guys are hitting him? I mean, what's he going to do? I have no idea. I know he's going to throw a lot of picks. I can tell you that right now. And that's not something I want as a deal. But I put him where he's at because Tanner McNeil or McKee out of Stanford and Jake Haener, who we saw throw the ball at the Senior Bowl at Fresno State, just don't have it. I mean, these guys are fifth round, sixth round picks. Aiden O'Connell out of Purdue, same thing. Jaren Hall out of BYU. I saw Jaren Hall throw. I thought out of all of those guys, out of these like third or fourth tier guys, Jaren Hall and Jake Haener pretty much threw the ball better than anybody else. Those two guys could have a chance to be a backup in the NFL. They have a chance. I have no idea how good Tanner McKee is going to be. I wasn't a big fan of him. I know he's getting some hype. And Aiden O'Connell threw for 9,000 yards for Purdue. The most since Drew Brees, and that's why he's getting some hype. A lot of guys, a lot of scouts are really high on this guy. I don't see it. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong on these guys. I haven't been wrong when it comes to these guys. So I'd be interested to see how they do. But my last quarterback that I want to talk about, and I hope you enjoyed your best-in-class breakdown of quarterbacks because I love doing this stuff. Please send me your emails to bestinclass@billcurryford.com, gthomas@billcurryford.com. Please send me your questions. I'd love to go over them. But Brock Purdy last year brings up an interesting conversation out of Iowa State, and he was the seventh-round pick of the San Francisco 49ers, and he was the last pick in the draft. And he had a very good 6-game run where we don't have a lot of defensive tape on him, which next year they will. And he got injured, of course, where he might not be ready for training camp, which is unfortunate for him because I'd like to see what he's going to be able to do when actually defenses know what he likes to do. And, of course, Kyle Shanahan's a fantastic coach. My thought on this is Stetson Bennett this year's Brock Purdy? Are we all sleeping on Stetson Bennett because he is 5 foot, I don't know, what is he going to be, 5'10", 5'9"? He's not heavy, right? He's under 200 pounds. And all he did at Georgia was complete 70% of his passes for 4,000 yards, and he threw 27 touchdowns. He only threw 7 interceptions with a 161 quarterback ranking. Now, he is more of a game manager than a game changer. But I think he showed at the combine that his arm is definitely strong enough to make every throw in the NFL. He's smart enough to make those throws based upon the fact that he threw 27 and 7. So he's going to be very accurate with the ball at 70% completion. But he did play with the best offensive line and some of the best receivers and tight ends in college football history. That's for sure. So those tight ends are Darnell Washington. That's a whole other conversation. If I were Jason Light, there's no way I don't put Darnell Washington's not a Buccaneer going into next year. There's no way I'd let that happen. But anyway, getting back to Stetson Bennett, if we don't get with like a Hendon Hooker early in the third round or whatever, and we have an extra fifth round pick, we have an extra sixth round pick, I think Stetson Bennett might be there in the fifth or sixth, kind of like I think Jaren Hall and Jake Haener will be from Fresno State. Those guys will be in that range. I'm taking a chance on Stetson Bennett because of his pedigree. The guy works extremely hard. He's a walk-on. I love his attitude. He has moxie. He might be a career backup, but what if he's not? What if he's this outliner that we're all missing? He's accurate with the ball, and he has amazing timing. Going back to what Christian said on his email, what am I looking for in a quarterback? I don't care about their height. I don't care about their weight. I care, does he throw the ball on time, and how accurate is he? And Stetson Bennett throws the ball on time with accuracy. I'm taking a chance on Stetson Bennett late if he's there. We look at the prototypical size, kind of like with Bryce Young, and that's what's holding me back on him. When I said, does he have accuracy and timing? He does, but not as good as C.J. Stroud. And that's the difference for me is if they're the same accuracy and the same timing, but one is bigger and stronger than the other, I have to go with the bigger, stronger if the accuracy and the timing is the same. And those guys, the accuracy and timing are very, very similar. So I have to go with C.J. Stroud over that. Hendon Hooker is another guy that we talked about. I think Will Levis is going to be overrated. Anthony Richardson, I think, is not a first-round draft pick. And listen, he might surprise us all where he goes into an offseason and they tinker with his throwing motion because he doesn't set his feet, doesn't set his shoulders. I don't like his throwing lanes at all. But, you know, maybe he gets it with the right quarterback guru and they can fix his throwing motion. And I'm thinking to myself, they tried to do that with Byron Leftwich coming out of Marshall, and it never materialized for Byron. You know, they tried to do that, I think, with Jameis Winston. I really do think that Jameis Winston had a problem when they tinkered with his throwing motion. They lowered his ball after the hike, and he preferred to have it up higher because that's where he was comfortable. And I want them to throw where they're comfortable. But getting back to this, my number one guy is C.J. Stroud. If the Glazers are listening to this podcast and you're not tanking, no one's going to say you're tanking, you know, for Caleb Williams or May out of North Carolina, that's next year. We don't even know if they're going to have catastrophic injury. We don't know what's going to happen with those guys. Putting your eggs in a basket of something that's unknown to me makes no sense. This is what I do know. It is March 2023. The draft is next month, and C.J. Stroud's on the board. That's what I know, and I'm going after him with both guns a-blaring. And that's based on a lot of factors for me. And if Kyle Trask is the next Joe Montana, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, if he's the next great guy, then I have two guys on my team and one of them I can trade. I just don't know how you can pass C.J. Stroud up. Thank you for listening to the Best in Class Quarterback Breakdown post-combine. We're going to be ranking every position now all through the offseason. I hope you enjoyed it. Please email me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com, gthomas@billcurryford.com. Follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Please go to billcurryford.com, see all of our amazing specials that we have going on right now. Please fight inflation at Bill Curry Ford with rates starting at 0%, if you can believe that. Bill Curry Ford can get you 0% on select vehicles and on CPOs. We have rates starting as low as 2.9%. So please let me know if you need anything at my email. I have a great staff. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. It went a little long today, but Steve, you can't blame me, buddy. I love this stuff. All right. I'll see you guys next week. We're going to start breaking down some running backs. Another fun podcast.